Bibles.
I already told you. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote many letters to the churches in the first century, and most of them, like the ones to Corinth and Galatia, were written to combat sins in that church. Now, all of them contained blessings and help for the church, but mostly they're rebuke and correction. Not so much with the church here in Philippi. Paul visited there around 50 AD, and he founded the first church in Europe. So it was in the church at Philippi. So he's writing now 10 years later, and he's in prison. In fact, the only negative comment in the entire book of Philippians is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. He says, I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Now that phrase, agree in the Lord, means discuss the matter and come to a mutual understanding. We talked about that, didn't we, in Romans chapter 13, remember? Y'all nod your heads if you remember.
Yeah.
Some of you do. Okay. In the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, diversity. Over everything that we do, love. Right? That's the way we ought to approach every situation that we come to as Christians. Everything else in this entire epistle is positive. Now, don't get me wrong. The church of Philippi was not a perfect church. If you ever find a perfect church, don't join it. Because it won't be perfect any longer. The church of Philippi was the same as any other church. It was filled with redeemed sinners. And that's us, isn't it?
Amen.
We are. He didn't have to correct any bad teaching. He didn't have to rebuke any bad behavior. He didn't have to even handle any bad situations. And when Paul wrote to this church, he didn't write to focus on the negative things. And there must have been negative things because, as I just said, every church has got negative things in it. He wrote to emphasize the positives of the church. That people had been praying for Paul. They had been witnessing. They had been sharing the gospel. They were working. They were giving sacrificially. And Paul chose to see those things in the church. He refused to focus on the negatives. Now I'm about to really date myself, but there is a song, I think it was by Hoagy Carmichael. Anybody remember Hoagy Carmichael? Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Folks, that's exactly what Paul's doing here. Accentuating the positive, he's not talking about the negative, and he's not messing with anything in between. That's wonderful. You know, it's real easy to be negative, isn't it? Come on, let's be honest. We're just among friends here. So easy to focus on what other people do and what other people say, to see the negatives. It's really hard sometimes to see the positives. In fact, last week when I was talking about love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8 say, love rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Love never ends. Or as King James says, love never faileth. Let me ask you a question. What do you see when you look at our church? That's not a rhetorical question. What do you see when you look at our church?
Fellowship.
Family.
Wow. That's terrific. It really is. You see, Paul took time to thank those people who had been a blessing to them. That's what we need to do. We need to express our love. We need to express our thanks and our appreciation for people that have been a blessing to us. And I got a really great way to do it. You ready? Here it is. Thank you. Is that sensational or what? Thank you. You've been a blessing to me. You might need to write a letter. You might make a phone call or an email or a text or a face plant or what is it called? Whatever it is. And just tell somebody, you've been a blessing in my life. Paul was blessed by the association for the church at Philippi. He really loved that church. And he took time not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. You see, that church stood with Paul in prayer and with fellowship and financial support when all other churches had failed to do so. Paul never forgot their ministry of love and of joy. Who wouldn't want to attend a church like that? I mean, who wouldn't want to be a church like that? In fact, if Paul had a favorite church, it probably was the church at Philippi. You see, I'm convinced, I think we all agree, joy is something we need nowadays, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, everywhere you look, you see prayer, you see despair, depression, disappointment. Oh, yeah, and division. Wow. There's not a lot of joy today because, well, we've got restrictions. Nobody can do anything. Nobody can be anywhere. And nowadays, if you have to do something, you got to wear 500 masks on your head, and you have to be 55 feet apart. Now, I'm generalizing, you know, kind of thing. I want our church to be an exception to that. I really do. Like the church at Philippi. Don't you want to be an exception? I do. I want, when people come to our church, I want to want them to see the love of God in shoe leather. I mean, actually the love of God. To hear that Jesus died in their place. That the Heavenly Father accepted His sacrifice by raising Him from the dead. To hear of His forgiveness. To hear that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. You know what? They tell us nowadays that that's hate speech. Yeah, hate speech. You can't say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's a lot of ways to heaven. No, there's not. No, there's not. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one, no one, who? No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow. The Philippian church was a church that was so full of joy. It was a church that gave joy to the pastor who started it, which was Paul, gave joy to the people who attended it. In fact, 19 times in this book, the words rejoice, joy, gladness are used. This is what church should look like to those who attend and for people around to see us in action. Folks, not everybody in the world is going to come in here on Sunday. We couldn't handle them all. But, I mean, there's not a whole lot of people that can get in here. But when we leave this place, they got to see us in action. Okay. So before we begin our study, let me ask you this question. Are we the kind of church that brings joy to our worship and our fellowship and our community? I hope we are. I want to look at three things this morning. That's true about the church of Philippi. And I guarantee you, I hope that our church is like this, right? And here's the first one. It was a grateful church. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were in Philippi, with the bishops, those are the elders, the pastors, and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's talking about two groups of people there. You know how I know? He uses the terms grace and peace. Grace was the greeting you would give to Gentiles. Peace, or shalom, was the greeting that you would give to a Jew. So in every church you have Jews and you have Gentiles. Wow. But you know what? The next statement tells us volumes about how much Paul loved the church. Look at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I'm pretty sure about what I'm about to say. It's very rare that anybody has great memories about anybody always. Very rare. And yet Paul said, every single time I remember you, I thank God for you. Let me ask you, what do you remember today? What do you remember? Do you remember your own salvation? Do you remember those who have been a blessing to you? Have you thanked the Lord for those people? Have you thanked those people? Is there someone maybe you need to go and say, thank you, you've been a blessing to me. I hope we're a grateful church. I really do. I believe we are. Secondly, it was a joyful church. Verse 4 says, always in every prayer of mine, making a request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now. Every time Paul prayed for this church and talked to God about this church, he had a smile on his face, joy in his heart, every time he thought about that church. Now, folks, for us, there are times when we cannot help people physically. And nowadays, it gets harder and harder to help people physically. But we can help them spiritually. Yeah. Paul said every time he prayed for them, he prayed with joy. And there's no greater expression of real joy than to have a consistent prayer life, praying for the people. Paul reminds the Philippians, and I believe us too, that we ought to pray for one another. And we do. We do, I think, a wonderful job of praying for one another. We have a prayer chain. We have when people call me or someone else calls, we say, and I try to get it out as quickly as we can so that we can pray for one another. You know, we need to understand the kind of joy that Paul's talking about here. It isn't the kind of joy that most people think about. For Paul, there were not a lot of beautiful days in his life. I mean, he was in prison, possibly to be executed. But every time he thought about this church, his day was filled with beautiful joy. You remember back in Acts 16? When they were in prison? That's in Philippi. They're in prison. Midnight, they start praying, they start singing, they start hallelujah, joy to the Lord, praise the Lord, our God and our Father. And what happens? The place shakes, the chains come off. Wow! I'd love to see something like that happen around here, wouldn't you? I mean, that would be such a dynamic kind of experience.
Person saved, too.
Yeah, there was. Not only was the jailer saved, his whole family was saved. They were all baptized. And I believe there's a bunch of them in the prison that got saved, too. That's where the church started. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So, and it goes on. Verse 5 says, for your fellowship in the gospel. Now, folks, fellowship is one of the most misunderstood words in the New Testament. It really is. There's more to fellowship than just having a cup of coffee, going hunting or fishing, playing golf together, even talking after the service is over. There's more to it than that. In the first century, that word meant a financial obligation. It was related to commerce. It was related to business. Actually, the word used here is the word for partnership. They were partners. That church understood from the very beginning they were entering a partnership with their pastor. They understood that they were to give to the work of the gospel. They were to live to spread the gospel. Folks, we're not just members here. We are not just attenders here. We are to be partners and we are to be invested in the ministry. Amen. We're to roll up our sleeves and we're supposed to get to work.
Amen.
That's what it means to be a disciple. Not only are you a learner, you're a doer. You're out there working in the ministry. And when we leave this church, our job is to be a marketing agent for the gospel. You use an everyday term nowadays. Folks, do you tell other people about our church? Do you? Hope you do. Do you invite them to come? Do you give them a reason to come? One thing to invite somebody to church, but if you're screaming and hollering a bunch of words that nobody knows, that's kind of tough to say, oh yeah, by the way, why don't you come to church? No, it don't work that way. Folks, we're not just partners on Sunday. We're partners every day that ends with why. For those of you that can't figure that out, that's every day. Right?
That includes yesterday and today.
Yesterday and today, it certainly does. But what about tomorrow? That's Monday. Ends with a Y. Thank you very much. We are all partners, and we are all equal partners. There are no junior partners here. We're all in this together. And the only thing that really holds the church together is the glue of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what holds it together. Just think about our church. Our church. We are so different. We've got men and women. We've got young and old. We've got different incomes and levels of education. Different philosophies, but one thing that keeps us together is being sold out to the gospel. Amen. We preach the gospel. I trust you're living the gospel. There were all kinds of barriers in the first century church. Racial, social, financial, cultural, educational. There were all kinds of barriers there. But there was one message that brought them together. There was one magnet that drew them together. And there was one ministry that kept them together. And that was the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection, and the soon coming of our Lord and Savior. See, we are to celebrate the gospel in our worship. We're to elevate the gospel in our service. And we're to communicate the gospel in our lives.
Amen.
When we do that, people will see our joy when they talk to us. They will want to come and worship with us. So it was a grateful church. It was a joyful church. One more thing. It was a confident church. Verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. There were a lot of things that Paul was not sure of. Whether he was going to get out of prison, whether he was going to get out alive, would he ever go to another church? There were all kinds of different things. But one thing he was absolutely sure about. He was absolutely sure that he would never lose his salvation. And he committed that to that church. Not because of their goodness, but because of God's grace. He wrote to the Ephesians, for by grace you've been saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And as we talked about, the first convert in the church was a businesswoman named Lydia. Your fellow compatriot there. God began the church in Philippi by beginning the work of salvation in her. Now, if you're taking notes, you need to write this next thing down. If you're not taking notes, write this next thing down, all right? You never start with God. God starts with you. That's what Paul said. He, God, who began the good work in you, will complete it. What starts with God? It always starts with God. That's a good thing. You know why? Because you can't finish what God starts.
Amen.
You can't do it. Because God is who starts it, and God's the one who finishes it. That word carried out to completion literally means fully complete. Fully complete. God doesn't do a halfway job. What God starts, God finishes. When God saves a person, he saves them completely.
Amen.
See, you're either 100% saved or you're 100% lost. There's no in between there. But not only does he save us completely, he saves us permanently. Woohoo! Let's go shout someplace.
Amen.
All right, we got a parking lot out here. We can get going. There's nothing temporary about it. We're not put on probation. There's no trial period. There's no, well, let's see if you measure up and then we'll see how it goes from there. It don't work that way. When God saves you, he saves you permanently. And then Paul emphasizes what permanently means. He says he'll carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Pastor? Yes. What is the day of Jesus Christ? That's a good question. Folks, our earthly life is not going to last forever. There's coming a day when all of us as the Lord's children are going to leave this world with all the hardships and all the sorrows behind. And there's only two ways we go. The first is my preferred way, the rapture.
Amen.
Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself, speaking of the rapture, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Somebody once asked me, why do the dead get to rise first? I said, because they got to go 6 feet higher than, so they got to get together. All right? The dead shall be rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm telling you what, the closer I get to heaven, the more excited I get about it, you know?
Amen.
Now, the other way is through death. But folks, we shouldn't fear death. Jesus has already conquered death. He's already paid the price for death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? And what the child of God calls death is really a doorway into the presence of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, "For we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, eternal in the heavens, not built by human hands. We are confident," he said rather, "to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord." So if we're saved, we're a winner either way, regardless of how we leave this world. So either by rapture or by death, folks, for us, that's the day of Jesus Christ. When he comes to get us, either by rapture or by death. When we leave this world behind, Scripture says we're going to be changed. This flesh, these appetites, these affections are all going to be gone, left forever. And we'll be changed into his image. What a day when we receive that perfect, glorified body. What a wonderful day that's going to be. I love what it says. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by my hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day! What a glorious day that's going to be. Let me ask you this. What is it that God started in you that he's still doing in you and he's going to finish in you? What is it?
He's going to make me a good Christian.
It's a good work, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
It's a good work. There's something that's true about every one of us here who belong to the Lord Jesus. Do you know what God is doing in you right now? A good work. That's what it says. Do you know what God wants to do in you right now? A good work. Do you know what God wants to do every day in our church, through our church, with our church, for our church, by our church, class? A good work.
Amen.
Folks, those outside of our church should know that we will not waver in our faith. We will not waver in our faithfulness to God, to always be known for two things. A work of God that he is doing in us, and the good works that God is doing through us. Because that's what the gospel is all about, folks. It really is. Reaching out to those in need, both physically and spiritually. See, the people who looked at this church in Philippi knew that the church could be counted on as a place of joy, as a place of ministry and service and worship and discipleship. And above all, it was a place of love. They loved one another. You know, it's being said today that a lot of people find God believable, but the church unbearable. I believe it. They find Jesus appealing, but the church appalling. Folks, it shouldn't be that way. It really shouldn't be that way. But it'll take every one of us to be fully committed partners to the gospel. Thank God he's still working on us. Thank God that he has a plan, because if it was left up to me, I'm sure I'd mess it up. Because you know, folks, I'm a Jack Russell. And I go. I have two speeds. Fast and stop. That's me. You know. And Rochelle and I butt heads a lot because of that. You know? But I'm glad he has a plan. He started it, he keeps it, he's gonna finish it, and I can't mess it up. And you can't either. If you belong to him, you're his forever. Warts and all. You know, many people say, "Well, that's what's wrong with you Baptists." I love that term when people say, "You Baptists." You know, like that's something evil. Hey, we're Baptists. They say, "You believe in this once saved, always saved stuff. You can go around and live the way you live because it's going to be all right." Well, let me tell you this, folks. I am eternally saved. And as sure for heaven as if I was already there. But eternal security is not a license to sin. It is not. It's a strong motive to love the Lord more, to live like he would have us live. Being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun the good work in you will take care of it until it's finally complete. So folks, let's continue to be a grateful church. And a joyful church. And a confident church. Folks, as we leave here, let's tell the world that we're Christians. We're not ashamed to bear the name of Jesus. Are you ashamed of the Lord? I hope you aren't. You with me?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's pray.